Luke and Susie with Faith, Family, Culture, and our guest is about to join us to explore the smallest changes that make the biggest difference. And every single day in her professional work, she spends looking and talking to people who need to make some changes. They're off to see the doctor because something's not quite right. But we often think it's going to end up in the biggest catastrophe or it's going to be the biggest thing to turn things around. But she, her word of advice is, it's the smallest things. The author of Your Best Year Ahead, Small Easy Steps to Wellness, Dr. Chris is our guest. You say it's the smallest things that make the biggest difference when it comes to health. I mean, it feels like it could be true, but our brains tell us, no, it's big and dramatic.
Yeah, and that's great. You know, if you've got time to do big and dramatic, if you've got the motivation to sustain big and dramatic, then do it. You know, but oftentimes we don't either have the motivation to get started, or we don't have, or we bit off more than we can chew, and we can't sustain that over the period of time. You know, we say to ourselves, I'm going to exercise at F45 5 days a week. Well, we might not get there 5 days a week. You know, we might do it for a week and then we sort of let it slack off. So, you know, big and dramatic does work for a short period of time. And then we can't keep it off. We can't sustain it. You know, we know that with weight loss a lot of the times when it's fast, it's rapid. We love the results, but they don't last. And so small and steady often wins the race. But, yeah, I guess when you're talking about the smallest things that make the biggest difference, some of those things include, like, getting a good night's sleep would have to be my number one if I was to think of, you know, number one. And we've spoken about your journey to finding out about some sleep apnea and getting a really good night's sleep and that sort of thing. So I would say to a lot of people, make sure you're getting enough quantity and you're getting enough quality sleep.
We understand it. And we see it especially in new parents, right? When you are sleep deprived, how much harder everything is. Well, the reverse is true. When you're not sleep deprived, when you're getting good quality sleep, everything is clearer and crisper and easier and better.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, sleep's amazing. You've just got to look at the quality of your sleep as well as the quantity. And you know if you're getting a good night's sleep if you're not tired during the day. You know, and there's three levels of tired, essentially. So the first level, I've spoken about this a lot, but the first level of tired is that you feel tired from 2 o'clock onwards, and then you get a second wind at around 6 o'clock, and then you push through that, and you seem to be up too late because you've kind of missed your sleep cue, and you keep going and you're doing your emails or what have you, and then you go to bed at, you know, 11, 12, 1 o'clock. And get up the next morning at the usual time and feel rubbish again, and the cycle goes round. The next stage of fatigue is you feel tired from 10 o'clock in the morning onwards, and the third stage of fatigue is you feel tired no matter what you do, and that's a real warning sign. If you're waking up tired and feeling tired all day and it doesn't lift for any significant period of time, you know, it's always there, or you don't realise it's there until you sit in a chair and you're falling asleep, that's when you know you're actually deep down very fatigued, then that's a warning sign. We need to really address sleep.
Yeah.
So sleep is one of those priority ones, I would say, to look at as a simple step. The next one is, you know, simple enough, but, you know, it's easy enough for us not to do as well, is drinking enough water. You know, a lot of us don't drink enough water. Making sure you're getting at least 1 liter for every 25 kilos that you weigh, which, you know, some people think, oh, my God, I'd drown if I had to drink that much water. Yeah. You just think, oh, that's a lot of water. and then, third, we talk about it in meditation circles, but I think breathing is really important. It's that deep breathing, not that shallow breathing, can really try and trigger some of those relaxation cues because we're all living in a state of constant stress. And stress will cascade a whole range of diseases and states that you don't want to go down. You don't want to be predisposed to, you know, because we can't really change stress a lot. You know, it is the state of our world. It is what we're living in. So you have to learn to mitigate it, dissipate it, do what you can to offset what it's doing inside you. And, you know, sleep, breathing, drinking water, getting enough exercise, those are things that help mitigate some of these stress signals in our body. particularly. But it sounds like it's easier said than done, doesn't it?
Well, it does.
You know, when I say it.
It does sound like easy steps, and that's because individually, each of the things you're saying are easy. But that doesn't mean that we execute without even, like, you have to plan it and you have to put it into place and you have to actually monitor it and you have to take control of it. It's not easy as in it'll just happen just because you want it to.
No, you're right. Until it becomes a habit, that's the thing. Once it becomes a habit, part of your routine, it's set in stone, usually then you can return to that habit fairly quickly. The problem comes is when we've derailed, we're out of the habit, and school holidays, particularly the Christmas school holidays, are shocking for that, aren't they?
Yeah.
They derail us because they're 8 weeks long and, you know, it takes about 3 weeks to lose a habit. And so you've then got to regain that habit, which takes another 3 weeks. And all of a sudden you're into February if you've started on time.
Yeah.
And most of us don't until the middle of the year. So, you know, we have six good months and then six really crap months when it comes to good habits. So I think it's trying to reestablish those habits early, jump on it really quick as soon as the kids go back to school, and try and keep some of those habits going while the kids are on school holidays. That's the hardest part, I find, anyway.
Yeah, school holiday time. Although for me, school holiday time is good because I have a bit more time and I go fishing and adventuring and camping, and so I'm getting more
fish.
So actually, it's that for me, it's always been a plus rather than the minus, but it's
That's
how to
great.
Do it on a day-to-day when the grind is on, and just make sure it's a non-negotiable. That's where I find I've got to put my most effort in.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm not gonna lie and say, you know, for most of us, it's really hard to fit in and making it a priority when there's so many other competing things out there that vie for our time and our energy. But certainly I think it's worth it in the long run when you get to the stage when you're starting to have some health consequences from some of those long-term habits or lack thereof. I think that's when you start to realise I should have done this a long time ago. You know, I should have really looked at this 20 years ago. Why did I leave it till now? But it's all human nature, isn't it?
Yep. Well, that's why you had to write the book, Your Best Year Ahead, Small, Easy Steps to Wellness. And there is the small things that can make the biggest difference. Dr. Chris, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks, Luke.